Hi, I'm Phil Palucha from Billionaires in Boxes, and you are about to enjoy an interview by Eric from the Kingdom ROI. Eric is one of our hand-selected guest hosts, and you're about to find out why.
Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention Show. I'm your host, Eric L. Dunovit, the Kingdom ROI strategist. Families and businesses hire me to create, grow, and protect generational wealth by discovering that what they do in their family's living room matters more than what they do in their boardroom or advisor's conference room. On this show, I'm here to tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize that they didn't have a growth problem, they had a relationship and priority problem. We'll hear stories and the journey these families who recognize that business and financial growth weren't what mattered. They know that their relationships and priorities is what's going to determine their outcomes. So stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each story captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down. Welcome to the Return on Intention Show. I've brought you another special guest because what you know is that in business, what I do is help faith-based business owners create lives to grow and protect generational abundance by minimizing the over 50% of destruction of wealth that happens during our lifetimes and then again after we pass away. So our guest today has lived a life with the understanding that to truly achieve abundance, it's not about the best financial or business strategy. It truly is about acknowledging that what we do in our living rooms matters more than what we do in any conference or boardroom. So I am so excited about diving more into the story of the journey of our guest today. So let me just introduce you to Eric Pineapple Weber. Pineapple, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you're here. Get us started a little bit to kind of an overview. You and I met at a Christian business conference and hit it off right away. You have an incredible story, an incredible amount of energy. Tell my guests a little bit kind of about who you are, what you're doing right now, kind of who you help. And then the other thing to kind of kick us off, my other favorite question is, what is your superpower?
Yeah, cool. In my present time right now, I'm helping homeless people in Sioux Falls, South Dakota and around the nation. I also collaborate and help other missions. So I run a mission that was going bankrupt 4 years ago, right pre-COVID, and then I took over. And God did some amazing things through that. So again, I run a homeless shelter that we have 52 employees. We our budget is $3.6 million a year. And we have wraparound services and we just take care of people.
That's fantastic. What's your superpower?
My superpower is intentionality.
That's really good. That's really good. Hey, so I'm going to kind of leave this a little open-ended because I really want to know where you're going to take this. The show is Return on Intention. And kind of the idea of, you know, how God kind of weaves our stories and we think we're headed one direction, but God's got a different plan. And what we think success looks like is not always what we think it's going to look like. If you were going to tell the story of Eric Pineapple Weber in your life, like where would you start and how would you kind of put the God part of this in this? Like how has God impacted you in your life?
Yeah. So, actually, it really started when I was 8 years old. Didn't grow up in the church, don't have any family in the church or anything like that. I was born in Hawaii, and my dad was a police officer in Hawaii. And when I was eight, my father hung me on the back of a door to get back at my mother because they were getting a divorce. And so I was a kid that was hung by a police officer in Hawaii. And, but the necktie broke. Now, I don't know if you know about anything about neckties. I've been trying to break them my whole life, like trying to rip them. And this necktie just ripped right across and I fell to the ground. I was a purple kid. My mom found me, rushed me to the hospital. My dad got a slap on the hand because he was a cop. And back, you know, those days, you know, and what is that, like 76, 77 or something like that. Just slap, you know, it wasn't really child abuse. It was just kind of, you know, you just stop it. you know. Mm. So my parents got divorced. I was doing bad things. I was acting out, doing dope, smoking weed. Left Hawaii. My mom was like, we're getting you out of Hawaii. Left and we moved to East LA. Perfect place to live, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I go right in from – I go from the fire to the frying pan, you know? So and then I have – I was gangbanging all the way up to 17 years old, 18. I was arrested probably 25, 35 times in my juvenile history. At 17 years old, I was being tried as an adult for a lot of different things. I had 9 strikes against me in a 3-strike state of California. And I discovered Jesus on a toilet, man. Literally, I was in an 8.5 by 10 cell all by myself. And a Gideon guy came one time to the prison and he's like, hey, you want a Bible? And I looked at him, I says, oh, yes, I want a Bible. And he's like, cool. And I told him, I said, Pappy, because his name's Pappy Pohl, and he was from Oregon. And I said, I am going to like smoke those pages because I have tobacco but no rolls. And back then, those Gideon Bibles were made out of zigzag paper, you know, so really? You can actually smoke those. Yeah, and because it was a really thin, light paper that they printed on. And those mm-hmm. were actually made – that was zigzags. And so – So then he said, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you read a page and then smoke it? And then like, just read it first and then smoke it. And I said, yeah, I go, yeah, I could do that. You know, cause I'm 8.5 by 10 by myself, you know? Right. And I was angry, man. Let me tell you, I was an angry person. Like I was just like, not good. Didn't have Jesus, didn't have nothing, didn't have the Holy Spirit moving in me. And mm-hmm. I was just like, whatever. Yeah, I'll read it. And so I started reading it. And I spent probably, it took me almost like 7 months to smoke the Bible. But then that guy, Pappy Pohl, came back. Like he came back. He literally came back to in 7 months. And no man in ever in my life has like come back. Like and said, hey, you matter to me. I came back on my own. I'm not with my group.
Yeah.
Like what happened in that? What did you see? What did you read in that Bible? See, that's where I got my intentionality from because Pappy Pohl was intentional. Yeah. Like this old guy, like came back and he was intentional about being in a place that I was in and just to see how I was doing.
Yeah.
And so, man, so he gave me another Bible because I told him I smoked that one, but we talked about it. And he says, what is the main verse that stuck out to you? And I says, 1 John 5:11-12. And it says, this is a testament that God has given us eternal life. And in his life is in his son. He who has the son of God has life. And he who does not have the son of God does not have life. And so I was like, I read that, you know, for one time again. And I said, and I read through all the gospels and Psalms and Proverbs and nothing really like took effect in my life. But no. That verse was like, I want to have a life beyond what this jail cell is going to be, right? Yep. And so I gave my life to Jesus on a toilet in prison. And then I was let out. There's a lot more to the story. It's just long and it's like there's so much to it. But then I was let out of prison and I – all misdemeanors. We went through court, 18 months, going to be tried as an adult. Went through court and I got out. The minute I walked out of the prison in Castaic Lake, it's actually the farm they call it. My old gang guys shot me.
What?
And they tried to kill me. Yeah. Oh. So I was like, okay, crazy. So I have a bullet hole through my arm, goes into my chest. And then I was rushed to UCLA Medical Center and they took care of me there. But 6 months later, I walk out of the hospital and I'm like, my friends or some friends that are church people are like, we're going to have to get you out of here. So I moved to Fresno, California to run and escape. But then I went to a pastor's door. There's Peach Baptist Church. That's what it was called on Peach Road in Fresno. And so I knocked on his door and I said, hey, can you like disciple me? Can you like teach me about the Bible? And I need to do this like every day because I need accountability. I need somebody to like help me. And the pastor said, he goes, we do that on Sunday and Wednesdays.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? and he goes, that's when we like work with people. And I says, I need like everyday stuff. I need to like live with somebody or be able to like come and get this. I got to be better. I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know like a lot of this stuff. So I need to learn it. And in Acts 2, it still talks about community and like in the Bible. And I want that community. And aren't you the shepherd? And aren't you the leader? Because you're like run this church, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. He goes, hold on. Let me pray about it. So he gives me a call and he says, hey, I want you at my house 5:30 every night for dinner.
Mm.
He says, you can't be a punk. I have a bunch of kids and we'll show you what it's like to be a Christian. And I thought, challenge accepted. So I took it.
Yeah.
And, but I had to be intentional about getting better because nobody was helping me. Like, but I know who was helping me all along and taking care of me was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right. The Holy Spirit was taking care of me and leading me and guiding me. And I didn't know what that was. Right. I knew that I read about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know like Jesus left him for the disciples, but I didn't really realize that he left him for me too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mind-blowing thing, the Holy Spirit, right? So, and I thought, okay. So we started doing this study and I started like eating dinner with them and they'll read their Bibles right after dinner and we'll talk about the gospel and intentional. And Jim was very intentional about the gospel. And then he said to me, he goes, all right, you're going to work, you're coming to eat. Wednesday nights we have Awana. And I went, Awana, what's that? And he goes, well, we play a bunch of games and we bring a lot of kids and we do these things. And he goes, but I want you to be the game director. I want you to like work with these kids. And I'm like, kids? I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know how to act around kids. Like I'm like a kid myself. I'm like 19, 20 years old. And, you know, I'm here for like just to get better and then get on with my life. And he says, so I became an Awana director, you know, and approved workmen's are not ashamed, right? So I was a game guy and I was doing games and I was getting gospel and I was able to gospel the kids. And then I ended up leaving Fresno, going back to LA and not being scared of anything. But after a year and a half of discipleship, I said to myself, be intentional about what you do every day of your life. Don't be in depression because that's yesterday.
Yeah.
And don't be in anxiety because that's tomorrow. Live your life now. Do what you got to do today. So I started taking care of my business today. Right. And then one thing led to another. I ended up in Bible college. I ended up going to seminary. I ended up doing Promise Keeper t-shirts. I had my own t-shirt company. Here I am 21 years old with a company making all those ugly purple shirts for Promise Keepers, you know? So I was contracted out to do that. And that was my first business that I was able to actually run and sell. And then I've been doing that ever since.
So at which point was it during any of this time of your discipleship and everything that you discovered it was the Holy Spirit, or was that a reflection later on? When did that awareness?
No, right. Man, when I started reading more in the Bible and digging in during discipleship, God left us a helper. Like, so I always say it's God wanted it or God got it.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit wanted it and Jesus did it, you know, and then it took those three to do it. And then it's like, when I was like, well, Jesus left. So if Jesus is gone, then what's inside me? Why the change? Why am I happy? Why do I have this joy? And so I started studying the Holy Spirit. Like, what does that mean in your life? And you can tell somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit when they have fruit in their life.
Yeah.
When they have that abundance of fruit, right? That peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that's fruitfulness, right? That's being fruity. And so it's like, I look at it like, I want that every day in my life. I want that every day.
Yeah.
And so I intentionally ran after and asking the Holy Spirit to consume me, not to fill me, because when you're filled, you tip over, you can empty, right? Consume me, in me and through me, not of me, that I can love people without barriers or boundaries. I can love intentionally, and I can make sure that I can do what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. And trust me, I like doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes God stops you and says, listen, you know. So, and then I became a youth pastor. I never got paid by the church. I was always entrepreneurial and starting businesses, selling businesses, doing things that I knew that would make a difference in people's lives where I didn't have to take money from the church. Intentional, right? Yeah, I could go to the church and be broke, or I can go get a job and do really well and then give to the church and then watch what God does with abundance, right? So I was like, so I was that guy, right? So the biggest thing that I struggled with is workaholism. You know, I'm a workaholic, and I just work, and I run at a different pace than most people. I call the group that I run with is a 2% club, you know, because we run just at a different pace. We don't get tired. We don't get burned out. It's just rhythmatic. It's what we do.
Yeah.
And so to this day, from everything that I did from 35 years ago to right now to today, I've been trying to be intentional about everything that I have done with raising my girls, taking time away from work, you know, not caring if the money's coming in. Because when you don't care about money coming in, the money comes in. That's it's the wildest thing.
Let me ask you a question, Pato, because you started in business so early and your intentionality, you really have a good heart and good mind around this. Did you ever run into any times, and I'm going to ask kind of in two fronts, where you got distracted from, like you got off course on, like you had figured out it's not about the money and things, and then all of a sudden the world pulled you into that, or anyone came in and confronted you like, hey, you can't keep doing it this way, you know, because the world likes to tell you there's a different way to do it. What you're talking about really is God's way. I mean, his way of doing it is you trust him and go.
I put it this way. I left a 7-figure job or a work that I was doing. 7 figures. I took Lear jets I flew around the world doing things that was work, but I put the gospel in that work. So I used my workplace to actually help with schools in Ethiopia and Africa and China. And I took the workplace and I said, I'm going to take this market that people are going to pay me to do some weird stuff that they could do on their own, but they're going to pay me to do it. And so I'll take their money and I'll fly in their jets, but I'm going to use it to spread the gospel. So I said, I will take that. And people are like, you can't be spreading the gospel. Like, you're paid to do this. And I says, hey, you pay me for 8. I get to play for 8 and I sleep 8. That's my day.
Yeah.
So you get 8, I take 8 and I sleep 8. 24 hours, man, that's what I do. So I'll work for you for 8 hours a day intentionally.
Yeah.
And I'll do that job. And then I'm going to play, do my job, God's job for 8 hours intentionally and do what I like. And then I'll take that rest and I'll sleep for 8 hours. So that's how I divide my day up is in 3/8.
I love that. I love that. I mean, it's so spot on to what God would want from us. But the question that wants to come to mind is who taught you that? Right? How is that just something that like the Holy Spirit? Yeah.
Holy Spirit, because nobody runs like that. Everybody will work 12 hours, 15 hours, and they'll grind and they'll kill themselves and they'll think they're achieving everything. And they're like, they're chasing this dream of achievement of wealth, and yet they're losing their soul and their family. And I'm like, no way, man. When I have kids, I'm going to intentionally love my kids. I'm going to love my wife, and I'm going to actually make sure my kids are amazing. And so I said to him when I had babies, I had twins right off the bat. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Wow. And girls. Like, I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. And then, you know, 14 months later, we have another girl. And I'm like, 3 girls in car seats and diapers. This is wonderful, God. And the Lord says, enjoy them.
Mm.
And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know. And he says, love my, and he brought the verse to my, to me, love your neighbor. And my kids are my closest neighbor. Right. Because they live with me. They're my neighbor. And not only that my kids are my kids, they're my brothers. Those are my sisters in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So it's a different mindset.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, how do I love them well? God, like, how do you want me? And he says, you have to be intentional about spending time with them, because a lot of people will say, I have three babies to raise, and they'll chase after that. They'll chase after the money. They'll chase after things, and they'll lose the time. And then they all of a sudden wake up one day and go, where did the time go?
That's right.
My kids are 18 and moving out of the house. What happened to the time?
Yeah.
So with me, my kids, I have two in college right now and one in senior in high school. I get to wake up in the morning and go, man, I spent a lot of time with my kids. They saw the world. They got to go places with me. We've been to, I think my daughter says I have traveled more than most people I know in our town.
Yeah.
And I says, yeah, because she's been to almost every state in the U.S.
Yeah.
We've been to, and I, so what I used to do is take June off. Mm. I took the whole month of June when school got out, and I intentionally invested into my family. 24 hours, 7 days a week, raising my kids and showing them the better things that are out there for them. Like, here's the big picture of life, but then here's what God wants for you. And so my personal opinion, I have the best kids in the world. My daughters are amazing women.
Yeah.
So it's all glory to God, not me. And you know, but God really installed and actually filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they're intentional. They live their life intentional. Mm. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you, maybe here's a better question. Along the journey, what are some of the, I'd love to hear a story or any experience you've had of someone who's like, you can't do that. You can't do it that way. Oh. But in the process, but in the process, they began to see that it worked and you helped them shift their own intentionality.
Oh yeah. I owned a cell phone stores, several of them. Right. Yeah. And, they were, as I was running this business, I had cell phone stores. We had 32 employees. We're rocking it in the Midwest. And a guy that was one of our direct leads and partners is like, you cannot continue doing this thing the way you're doing it. You're gonna fizzle out and you're gonna burn out and you're just not gonna your store is talking to people about Jesus. Like, all your employees are like, here's a cell phone, but let me tell you about this Jesus thing. And he says, and you got all this corporate stuff in here and you have Bible tracts everywhere. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And he says, you're not going to have customers.
Mm.
And I said, I don't care. And he's like, there's no way that you're going to be able to do this and really maintain this. And so what's great about it, God actually brought me one of the biggest customers ever, which they needed 2,000 lines. And so that took me about a month to get together, right? But the direct guy, our market guy, says, asked the other person, well, why this store? Why this place? Like, why aren't you going to the corporate instead? Why are you coming here? And the guy said, because they share hope.
Mm.
And they're giving away hope, not only with the phones, but there's joy in this place. And I want to do business with that. I want to do business with people that are like-minded like me. And they're going to get my business. And, you know, it might take a while. And so the guy, the district manager, is like, well, you should come to the corporate. And he's like, no, I'm not going to the corporate. I'm going to your dealer because your dealer is dealing hope. And people get saved here. People get hope here. People get loved here. It's not this, like, let's make a transaction and be done. It's like, let's do life together and we'll take care of you down the road. And that's what he wanted for all of his company worldwide, that we would take care of anything that came up. And because we're intentional, we were that way, you know? Yep. And so that's part. And then, so the guy that was over me, that's kind of the representative for the corporate, he said, He goes, okay, I get it. And I says, what do you get? And he goes, I get kindness wins. And I said, no, hope wins.
Hope
in Jesus Christ, man. That's what wins. I says, when people know that you're sold out for Jesus and you take a stand and you still do this corporate thing, you're still in business, but you don't have to separate the two. You can love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and sell phones. You can do that. You can sell Cheerios. You know, you can do whatever it is, wherever you're at. And if you know, just even though this is why I never took a job at the church, because I tell people, go out and be a missionary at your workplace.
Yep.
Yeah. And if I sat in a church and I told people that and I'm not doing that myself, they're like, well, what do you know?
Yeah.
True. And I'm like, I know business. I'm doing business. I'm loving God. I work at the church, volunteer. I'm doing this thing, same as you guys do, but I go to do a job.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I get it. You're being the example. And I'm like, no, I'm being intentional because that's what God tells us to do. He's never said to go get paid by a church. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. He didn't say go sit in a church and wait for people to come to you. He says, go out and make disciples, yo. Yeah. He says, go quickly, run and make disciples. And I'm like, and I took that literally. Matthew 28 is my favorite chapter of the Bible because Jesus wasn't there, so I get to be here with you today because we have the same belief.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you get to counsel with other business owners, other men, other families, and things like that. Where do you get the biggest pushback on this? Because the message that you're
talking about. Oh, the work thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
How do I provide for my family if I'm not doing 18 hours a week or 18 hours a day? You know, where's it going to come from? I have to go out and work and do it. I have to go out and be the breadwinner. And I said, you need to be the bread giver and stop being the breadwinner. A lot of people out there want to win bread. So they gamble. They take a gamble on their relationships. They take a gamble on life. They take a gamble at business.
Yep.
They're wanting to win something. It's a gamble. But when you're intentional about making the bread, right? You're kneading it, you're molding it, you're setting it aside to let it rise, and then you're baking it, and then you're cutting it, and it's good. Take the time. Yes. And that's why I tell these guys, you have to take the time to make the bread instead of try to win it.
It's so crazy to me, and I would love your opinion on that. Why do we – because that's what the Holy Spirit does, right? That's exactly how God works. It's why I do the Return on Intention show. I want more stories like this. But – Why do you think the world today is so resistant to that? Is it just the enemy, or I mean, is there more to it? Or
no, it's lack of disbelief. They don't know what they believe. They believe so much. Right? They believe what they believe. They go to church and they believe what the pastor told them, right?
Yes.
And so they go for the hour or 15 minutes or whatever, and they get that 20-minute message and they go, oh, yeah, you're telling me the truth. This is great. And they don't dig for themselves, right? So what they end up doing is they know what they believe because somebody told them, but they don't ever discover what they don't believe what God says. See, the big thing is disbelief. What is it that you disbelieve that God can't do that you're trying to do?
Oh, right? You don't think again. God That's can so bring good. You up. Say that again. Say that again.
Yeah. So it's the disbelief, right? It's what are you not trusting God for? And it's like we try to do stuff in for God, but yet here is God already done it and we just don't believe it, right? I love it because people are like, man, they either hate you or love you. And I go, I love people that hate me. And they go, why? I said, because I'm going to tell them the truth and I'm not going to beat around the bush about it. I'm going to tell them that, hey, you're ruining your life with what you're doing. I had a young kid come in and he's 25 years old and he's like, man, he called off his wedding. He's supposed to get married this weekend. And they called off their wedding. And I said, I go, why did you call off your wedding? And he goes, because I have a porn addiction and I don't know how to get over it. And I says, I know how you can get over your porn addiction. I says, remember I want you to, you're a Christian, right? You believe in God. He says, yes. I said, all right. the God of the universe. They created the heavens, the stars, and he separated land from water. And he created this earth, and he stands outside the galaxy. God wants to have a relationship with you. And when the God of the universe is in you, how can you do the things that you do? You shouldn't be doing those things. And the way that's the Holy Spirit in you. And he doesn't want to see those things because your body is the temple. He's moved in, right? You became a Christian. You said, Lord, come and forgive me of my sins. And then the Holy Spirit moves in. The Spirit of the Lord moves in and he takes residency in us, right? It's like crazy. And then you want to look at your porn and expect God to be rhythmatic with you and showing you and giving you direction when you're like, you're really blocking the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and when God is like, hey, where did Eric go? And the Holy Spirit says, well, see all that blood over there? See all that blood, God? All that blood of your son? Well, he's behind that. You know, he's sitting right now and he's in that blood. And you can't see him, Lord. Sorry, because he's a sinner. He's sinned. And he's doing his own thing right now. Yeah. But Lord, he's going to come out of it. He's going to come out of it. Yep. See, right? The Holy Spirit is our communicator, our intercessor, right? He translates our bad behavior and blocks it from God. He can't see it.
Yeah.
And he's communicating with, hey, Eric is not home right now. He's out, but see all that blood? All that blood your son covered, he's behind that, Lord. And it's kind of like if we really truly believe of anything in our lives that we just need to repent. Mm. We need to say, I'm sorry, and do it no more, and do it intentionally.
Yeah.
See, everything that we do is with intention. We sin with intention. We do good things with intention. We give with intention. We don't give with intention, right? There's a lot of people that go to church today that won't give a dime, right? Until somebody dies, and then they want to write a check because they need the pastor to pray for them.
Right. Right.
It's the wildest thing.
Yeah.
Again, intentionality.
That picture, though, that you just described of the Holy Spirit and the blood is a beautiful, beautiful picture. I really thank you for sharing that because that's just, I've never heard anybody describe it that way. It's exactly right. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture. But one of the things I keep hearing you saying is we're a country full of people with a lot of knowledge, but maybe no wisdom. Meaning that the entire wisdom of Scripture is there and available to us, but we want somebody else to tell us what it says, not consume it for ourselves. And it's in, I think it's, you know, waiting for somebody else to tell you what Scripture says, you're never going to get it.
Mm-mm. You'll get 15 minutes a week. Do the math, 20 minutes a week.
Yeah.
Imagine going to work 20 minutes a week.
Right.
Trying to run a business for 20 minutes a week, trying to do your life for 20 minutes a week.
Mm.
It doesn't work.
No.
You only have, so you get 5 hours a month. You know, I mean, you're going for the 20 minutes, but yet it's a life consumption thing. It's like, man, it's like when you discover who God is and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think people have been mind blown about the Father. I don't think they've been like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
When I became a Christian, it was like, whoa, like seriously, the God of the universe. And I still think about this every day. I think about the Holy Spirit moving in me, like he's living in me, dwelling in me, and he wants to affect people around me. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even take any coin. That just takes availability. That doesn't take money.
That's right.
It just be available to do what God wants you to do. But a lot of people go, well, when I get to the next million, man, the next million, you're going to want another million.
That's right.
Then you're going to want another million.
Yeah.
And then when you stop wanting a million, this is funny. Check this story out. So I asked the Lord in 2018. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, can you, I would like my business to do $3.4 million in a year. That's what I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
3.4. And so I'm like, okay. And then the mission calls and says, hey, the mission's failing. Can you come work for us? And I'm like, No, I have goals.
Yeah.
I wanted to make $3.4 million so I can take some and do some great stuff with it. And they're like, yeah, well, we'll pay you like $60,000 a year. And I went, $60,000 to $3.4 million.
Right.
I think I paid more in taxes last year than what you're willing to pay me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And so, but God said to say yes. So I did. God used a couple of people in my lives that called me out of nowhere. And they said, hey, one guy was in Los Angeles. He says, whatever decision you're going to make right now, say yes. And I said, okay, I'll say yes. And another guy calls me, Tim, and he says, do the same thing. They don't even know each other. One guy's from Nashville, one guy's from Los Angeles. And they're both calling me on the same day. Whatever decision you're going to make right now, it's a go.
Wow. Wow.
And I win. Yeah. Right. So I called the board up and I talked to one of the board members and said, Mark, it's a go. I'll do it. And he goes, good, because we're in trouble. And I said, what do you mean we're in trouble? He says, yeah, we have $39,000 in the bank. We have a $65,000 payroll and we, you know, to get out for the bills and everything. And we are, we're bankrupt. And we're 6 months behind everything right now. We're 6 months behind payments and we're 6 months behind our mortgage and all these things. And we owe the gas company 6 months and we owe the electric company and they're bouncing employee checks and stuff and they don't have any money. He says, so either you're going to sell the place or we're going to fix the place. And this is December 10th of 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, December COVID. 10th of 2019. And I'm like, yeah. And then we have to do Christmas. Right. So I'm like, how are we going to do Christmas? Because we serve all these people during Christmas. And the last people, they just canceled Christmas. They just canceled it. They're like, no Christmas. And I'm like, well, that's not the mission. The mission forever, all these years has been doing Christmas. Yeah. And so we're going to do Christmas. So I had to make some phone calls to people I know to say, hey, I took over this mission. We're broke. I don't have any money. And I need your help. And they're like, okay, I maybe can help. Tell me the story. So I told them about the mission, told them what I was doing. The guy that I used to go to Africa with this gentleman, and we used to work in the Ebola crisis in 15, 16, and 17. So we would go spend time in Africa helping with Ebola. This guy, him and myself, got sick at the same time with Ebola. And, you know, so we lived, right? So so we fly back and he says, if you ever need anything, call me.
So we're going to have like 3 minutes left in the show. They're going to, because they cut us off at 40.
Okay.
I know where this story's going, but do not miss the God punchline on this for everybody. So finish, but I don't. What a great.
Yep. So I call this guy. His information was in my wallet and I took out his card and it just had his name on it. And so I called him and told him the story. Before December 24th, man, I had $130,000 in my bank because of this guy. Not nowhere near the mission. Nowhere near. And so, and then check this out. From 2019 to 2020, that year I brought in $3.4 million.
Of course. Because you asked God for $3.4 million, right?
He gave it to me.
Yeah.
Not mine, but it's for him. But that was my number, you know? And so at that time I was able to, and our budget at that time was 2.8 or 2.2 million, right? Wow. That I built this budget up to that I wanted to do. And then we brought in $1 million more and I was able to sock away $1 million in the bank and pay off a lot of debt. And to this day, I have my 52 employees that God is really taking care of. We have everybody not living in poverty that works for me in a mission. And we are doing so much, but yet God has placed $1 million in our bank to take care of our employees. Not only that, we pay 70% of their insurance, you know, for our employees. The mission does that. Not only that they get food boxes and they get free food and shoes and all that stuff at the mission because of what God is doing, not what we're doing. Right. Yeah. And check this one out. Here's the big one. This is the biggest one of them all. We just start a third floor for families, like a family center. And it's going to be about $850,000, and I have $780,000 now. And, you know, so we're getting there. And then they're like, well, why don't you build on more? It's just another $1 million. And I'm like, well, maybe we will. I says, if God says go, we go.
That's right.
And so, right. But we're doing it. And it's, and I just want to tell people, if you don't step out in faith and step in front of it, you're going to hide from it. And you're going to stay below the line. You need to become, as a Christian, you need to become above the line. And above the line means I'm going to be intentional about loving Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in me and through me and not anything of me, and relying on God and not yourself. Intentionality. Mm,
that's so good. I tell a lot of believers, I said, you know, the difference between you and Peter is Peter got out of the boat. Pineapple, you are a man who gets out of the boat when Jesus calls you. And I'm so thankful for you. Hey, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, follow what's going on at the mission, anything like that, what's the best way for people to, for our guests to do that?
Yeah. UGMSiouxFalls.com. Okay. So it's UGMSiouxFalls.com. Come to our web, come visit us in South Dakota, see what God is doing. You know, it is wild. I mean, and it's going to get cold, but man, we take care. We do 150,000 meals a year.
Wow. Right?
And my budget for food is only 25 grand. Like, think about that. I spend $25,000 on food, but we do 150,000 meals a year. Right?
Only God.
You can't do that. Only God can do that, right? It's the wildest thing.
That's right.
Peace out.
Yeah. Hey, Pineapple,
thank you, man.
We may have to do this again sometime, but thank you everyone so much for being here. It's been a pleasure. God bless you all. Have a fantastic day. And just remember, only Him.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or a family who recognizes that what you're doing in your family's living room matters more than what you do in boardrooms or advisors' conference rooms, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of the journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I would invite you to apply by visiting our website, www.kingdomroi.org.
Thank you for enjoying this content by Billionaires in Boxes. If you would like to be a guest or a host, be sure to get in contact with us at billionairesinboxes.com.